This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
On this Trinity Sunday, Dr. Wyatt will share an often overlooked narrative of our Lord telling the disciples that His going away is an advantage.
Thank you, Dennis. This is, as many know, Trinity Sunday, which is meant to encourage the church, that is Christianity, to be informed, reinforced, and celebrate this great revelation. Only today, rather than the usual, let's emphasize more all that the Father has.
Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What my wife has read is but a brief but tantalizing portion of an extended narrative and commentary relating what was talked about that last night in the upper room. A brief and insightful revelation of the relationship within and about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, here called the Counselor or Comforter. It is ideal for this Trinity Sunday, as it will be observed in most of Christianity, which is our excuse or challenge, if you will, to deal with this most misunderstood, even maligned doctrine of our faith. Here our Lord has begun by calling upon the disciples to love one another. For by contrast, the world will hate you as it has hated Jesus. To aid the disciples, Jesus says he will go away, that this is to their advantage. If he does not go away, as Jesus says, the Counselor will not come to you. Such an overwhelming message. Few, if any of us, can fully appreciate the profound confusion, the dismay, the emotional torment, and even disbelief that has flooded over the disciples on this night. How much of this is actually the words of Jesus, and what is the further illumination and commentary of the beloved disciple has engaged pastors, expositors, and teachers for millennium. Yet the words describe a breathtaking, emotionally draining, and surreal series of events. This Last Supper and the rich, exalted, passionate, and profound words found in these four chapters of John uncover the inner sanctum of our Lord's heart as he bears his soul, his hopes, and the vision that will bear fruit in what will unfold in just the next few hours. What the Lord has said is solemn, sober, heartfelt, yet mysterious, undecipherable to the disciples. Then they will exit this small room, traverse the dark passages of the city near the shadows of the Temple Mount, descend further into the darkness of the Kidron Valley to the slopes of Olivet. Then the vigil in the garden begins, with their Lord deep in torment, prostrate in agonizing prayer. Then the sudden arrival of armed guards, the arrest, a mock trial before the high priest, the ravenous howl of a mob before the Roman Pilate, followed oh so quickly as the dawn gives way to the mid-morning sun and the horror out there on Golgotha. More darkness and all that follows. So what is said this night is our Lord's effort to prepare, strengthen, and meld this little group together. But also as well, we are provided a glimpse of the very picture of God. I have had Sharon begin with Jesus' statement, "Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Nevertheless, he tells them, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Paraclete, the Advocate, your Helper, will not come to you." I have used two words to define the Greek word Paraclete, and even that is inadequate. It has been translated defender, teacher, as well as advocate and helper. He is all of these things and obviously much more. And he cannot come until Jesus Christ goes away. The presence of Jesus is invaluable, but with the coming of the Paraclete, the effectiveness of Christ will be multiplied. For in a real sense, this Paraclete is to come not only as interpreter, but as the successor to Jesus. And he cannot come, cannot be given, until Jesus is glorified. Jesus will not, as before, walk with them, but now he will abide in each. He that comes will be as their active defender, to strengthen, enable in ways they as yet cannot understand. He will lead them into all truth. That is all the truth the Father has given him to make known. All the truth about Jesus Christ. And that is all the truth that matters, really matters, ultimately. The difference in them will be startling, as we will witness in these narratives. When Jesus was taken from them by the guards in the garden, they would all flee in fear into the night. In just a few days, these same men, after being filled with the Spirit of truth, this advocate, will all stand together and speak the word of God, testifying to the truth of Jesus with boldness. Then what Jesus was unable to say to them, because they were unable to bear it or endure it, will be accepted and openly acknowledged, all because of the presence of this Paraclete. No longer will fear be an obstacle, something that prevents action. No longer will hostility, the oppression and threats of the authorities, who would like to force them into silence, will it work. For as Peter will say to the high priest and council, "Is it right in the sight of God to listen to you, or rather than to God?" It is this new presence, this Holy Spirit, Jesus says, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Only following Calvary, Christ's finished work of atonement, will the Spirit in all its fullness reach out to accomplish all that he will. He will convict. He will be active in the world, active in the sense as a prosecutor, bringing about the conviction of the world. And now as well will be related the apostolic proclamation, which will prick the hearts of those who hear it. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals to mankind the truth about our sin. As the renowned scholar Brooke Westcott has put it, he will not simply convict the world as sinful, as without righteousness, as under judgment, but he will show beyond contradiction that it is wanting in the knowledge of what sin, righteousness, and judgment really are. The world will now be revealed in its sin because they do not believe. Strangely, the world, the unbelievers, saw Jesus as a sinner, saw themselves as righteous, and would pass judgment on him. And now it will be revealed that on all these points, unbelievers are gravely in error. The world is guilty, but it requires the Spirit to bring this home. For God expressed his hope in sending his Son into the world, but the world so regularly and persistently refuses to believe in him. And our faith contends that the Spirit will for all, at some point, bring the world's guilt home to itself. And only by the Spirit will mankind ever be convicted of their sin. It reminds me of a story related by the famed teacher William Barclay, of Thomas Huxley, the British agnostic, who was a guest at a great English country home. Sunday approached, and most of the guests prepared to attend Sunday service at the local historical Anglican church. Huxley approached one guest, a man known for his simple and radiant Christian faith. He said to him, "Suppose you don't go to church today. Suppose you stay here and you tell me quite simply what your Christian faith means to you and why you are a Christian." "But," said the man, "you could demolish my arguments in an instant. I'm not clever enough to argue with you." Huxley responded gently, "I don't want to argue with you. I just want you to tell me simply what this Christ means to you." So that is what the man did. And as he talked, Huxley's eyes began to fill with tears. Then he spoke, "I would give my right hand if only I could believe what you believe." A simple, sincere faith provoked that prick of the heart. But Thomas Huxley could not take that small step of faith, which can make all the difference. As C.S. Lewis would say, as one as intelligent and gifted and more so than Huxley, "I was the most reluctant of converts." What we are presented with in Jesus the Christ going to the Father, that the Spirit might come, that righteousness might be revealed in mankind by the atoning work of Christ, it is all here. The sin of unbelief, our righteousness because of Christ, and the judgment on the ruler of the world. Satan is defeated. This is divine judgment, not some simple feat of power. As has been stated, sin, righteousness, and judgment are all covered by the same act. All can be understood as they are seen and understood in Christ Jesus and his relationship with the one he calls Abba, my Father. Here are the realms of beauty and truth that are open to us all. Vistas before all who believe, which were closed until the entrance of the Spirit. Now the implication of all that is the divine revelation can now be lived out as one gains the Christian experience. This experience enables one to more fully be able to understand all that the Spirit leads one to and equips one to do. It is a life in God, in His Son, and the Spirit that is more immense, expansive, and delightful than the human mind, let alone our language, could possibly dream or even express. Of a Father who is indeed Abba, even our Father, who would draw us in to share what is His Godhead, a boundless love, endless challenges, and of indescribable bliss. No church can long survive on any superficial, unanointed understanding or appreciation of what Christ Jesus accomplished on Calvary. Nor will any but a very few unbelievers be persuaded by any such superficial or unanointed proclamation. The Spirit is to supply all that is needed. Our failures are when we attempt things by our natural insight, by our own strength. All that God intends for us as Christians, as a people in Him, there is no reason for any ineptitude, weakness, or superficiality, or the unanointed in our churches, or as individual believers. All we require or need is ours to receive. What is made clear is that the work of the Spirit is centered in Christ Jesus. He will glorify Christ. His work is of and about and built to continue this work of Christ. What these few verses here reveal for us is that there is no division in God. that there is a communion, a community that is the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Each sets forth the truth of the other. A Godhead of matchless wonder, grace, and I believe of beauty and power, and also, lest we forget, of indescribable love. At this point on Trinity Sunday, let us repeat this time-honored declaration. If there is no Trinity, Christ is not God and cannot reveal God. If the Holy Spirit be not God, then the divine communication of God to man does not exist. If there is no Trinity, then God is a singularity, and there is no mediation or atonement. An infinite gulf exists between God and mankind, for Christ cannot bring us any nearer to God than he himself would be. Only one who is God can reconnect us to God or justify us. If there is no Trinity, then the fatherhood in God has a beginning and may have an end. But if the Father's giving and the Son's receiving are eternal, then such love is the highest dignity of our being. The ancient church father Tertullian was right. The Trinity is no human construct. It is to our human minds a bit confusing, and no one would have invented it. The doctrine of the Trinity is something self-evident. We believe it because God has so revealed that this is what he is like. But the denial, or to twist its meaning, is the beginning of all heresy and the foundation of every cult. As the wise couplet states, try to explain it and you will lose your mind, but try to deny it and you will lose your soul. Lord, we will not lose our soul, for all that the Father has been given and is provided, if we will but receive it. Lord, grant us this boon and the strength and the willingness to take that step of faith and accept all that you have and all that you extend to us in thy Spirit, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven, all for your glory, and in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Now with Trinity Sunday, we begin in earnest this great church season of Pentecost, and the truth that Jesus Christ did have to depart, that we might be able to share in the living presence of the Holy Spirit. The idea of three in one will then be appreciated only when we comprehend that God cannot be limited. And so Dr. Wyatt is offering this week his primer titled, The Trinity and the Divinity of Christ. If this concept is still troubling, write and ask for your copy of The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. It is yours at no charge and will be of great help to you, I'm sure. We pray you have been touched by the Wings of Healing ministry and broadcasts, and even in these financially challenging times, you would consider being a part of this outreach by supporting this ministry. Join with us in getting the Word of God to a world that is in desperate need to hear it. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. I do hope that those who question the idea of the Trinity or the divinity of Christ will write and ask for my free booklet on these subjects, or let me say emphatically, these truths. There are so many that have thanked us for our informative, and I believe our inspired pamphlets, booklets that we offer free, as Phil from Seattle, Martha of Toronto, Emily of Asheville, the list could go on and on, who thank us for our publications. For too many believers do not know of what they really do believe. We want you all well-versed in what Scripture really does say, so that you can really provide a defense of our faith when asked. So do write us. Dennis will give our addresses once more. After this rousing version of Praise the Father by Chris Tomlin, and until next week, do praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one.
O sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing time under your wings, I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and Dr. Wyatt this week is offering his primer on the Trinity titled The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. Now, here is a brief and scriptural study of these pivotal concepts of our Christian faith. If questions remain or you are interested in a greater understanding of these truths, do write and ask for The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. It is yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.